Season 1, Episode 11 of the Choir Room Podcast.
Welcome to the Choir Room.
You're in the Choir Room.
Welcome to the Choir Room.
Welcome to the Choir Room, y'all.
I'm Greg Thomas, your host, and I'll soon be joined by my co-hosts, Dorian Johnson, Mieta Stansel-Farrar, and, though he's not with us today, our fourth wheel, Coleman Smart. Let me remind you that this podcast exists to promote and encourage two longtime traditions in our society that seem to be dwindling away, and that is choir and corporate singing. And we hope to revive the excitement and joy experienced with singing in a choir, as well as inform and educate the listener on all things choir-related. It is also a production of Metro Music and Arts, whose purpose is to perpetuate and promote the Christian and positive idea through the medium of music and other arts. If you were with us on last week, you know that our guest contributor, Q Smith, was with us, and she's back again for part two of that discussion. She just finished a 7-year run in Come From Away on Broadway. I've had the privilege of directing her in two choirs and the opportunity to record with her in the studio. So you don't want to miss Q Smith as she shares with us her choir experience, her Broadway experience, and what's happening now. Dorian has our hymn of the week.
Thanks, Greg. This week's hymn of the week is All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name. This week, we are looking at a hymn that reminds us that Jesus Christ is of the same essence as the Father and the Holy Spirit and is equal to them in power and in glory. Last week, we read from Hebrews 1, and I'll read it again. Actually, I'll read verses 3 and 4. Where it says, He is the radiance of the glory of God in the exact imprint of his nature, and he upholds the universe by the word of his power. After making purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, having become as much superior to angels as the name he has inherited is more excellent than theirs. And here the writer of Hebrews is spelling out and beginning to spell out how Christ is preeminent over all. He mentions angels here, and as we think about Christ sitting at the right hand of God, verses 1 and 2 of the hymn tell us that angels bow before Christ. They crown him the Lord of all. And also surrounding him are those who have gone ahead and have died for the cause of Christ, who bore the name of Christ even to the end. And they also crown him. In verses 3 and 4 of the hymn, we see the power of Christ's name in salvation. Verse 3 talks to those who are the seed of Israel's chosen race, those who were ransomed by Christ. And verse 4 points to who we are and who we were before Christ. We were sinners. It says, sinners whose love can ne'er forget the wormwood and the gall. And as we read one of the many sermons in Acts chapter 4, we're reminded of the words of Peter, who said in Acts 4, verse 12, And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Not that we may be saved, but that we must be saved. Christ's name is powerful in salvation. Verse 5 shows us the preeminence of Christ over all, calling all from every kindred, every tribe on this earth to ascribe majesty to the Son of God. For indeed, he is worthy of that. And so we see that in Philippians 2, 8 through 11, where we read, And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And then verse 6 points us to that blessed hope when we all will be gathered around the throne of God, worshiping Christ. And it says in verse 6, Oh, that with yonder sacred throng we at his feet may fall. We'll join the everlasting song and crown him Lord of all. And as we think of Christ's name having power to save us, having power to redeem us, we also are reminded of his words from the Great Commission that tell us of his power throughout eternity, where he says, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you. And behold, I'm with you always to the end of the age." And yes, that spoke to the end of our current age, but we know that Christ's name will forever, for all of eternity, hold that power and will show to us just his power in salvation, his preeminence overall, and his power throughout eternity to keep his people and to show his faithfulness to them.
Thanks again, Dorian. As we mentioned earlier, you're going to hear part two of our interview and discussion with Q Smith. She's going to talk to us a little bit about how she prepares her students for college entry or other music entry programs. And then we have a little surprise on the tail end of this conversation. Now, if you've been involved with a healthy choir or singing group, you know how important and valuable community is in a group like that. Now, there are a number of benefits in being involved in a choir. So we're going to hear from Q how her involvement, at least in part, has been life-changing, literally life-changing. Let's go to that part now.
Welcome to the choir room.
Now here's part two with our guest contributor, Kiana Q. Smith. Now, are your students, or is your teaching mostly online or is it in person?
In person. I've done some online coaching for sure. Kids get trying to colleges or auditioning for something. But I would much, much rather do it in person.
Yeah, yeah. Because you can feel their voice and they can feel yours in the room.
Yes.
Big difference doing it in person and virtually. I mean, virtual has its benefits, but then you're at the mercy of the equipment. You're at the mercy of, you know, the microphones and all that other stuff that's being used in order to hear. But there's nothing like doing it in the room. Kind of like there's nothing like, you know, there's nothing like singing with the cast on the stage. There's got to be a difference between singing with the cast on stage and singing with the cast in a rehearsal versus practicing on your own. There's a huge difference. There's something about the reverberation and the wind and the air that moves when you are singing in an aggregation with an aggregation of people. So I can relate. So you do master classes, you do vocal coaching, you also do theater workshops. Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Tell us a little bit about that, because I know there's still some people who are on the, some of our listeners who are aspiring theater people, enthusiasts. But they haven't crossed that road. They haven't crossed. They haven't said yes to themselves yet. So talk to us a little bit about that and maybe give a word of encouragement to those who have just been toying with the idea. Maybe they're in a church group, in a church theater group like you were.
Yeah.
And now they see that you've done 11 tours. And then recently, obviously, with one of the most popular Broadway productions.
Yeah. So many things to say. Me and my husband both conduct workshops. We just did a workshop for two drama ministries, actually in New Jersey. These two churches combined forces, and they just wanted sort of a workshop in like a master class in theater. So we worked on our voices, not necessarily singing, but speaking on stage, how to support your sound healthily, give us some healthy tips on how to maintain, like we sort of did. We taught them the fundamentals, how to use your voice, right? The voice is a fascinating thing to me. And I think this podcast is amazing, first of all. I don't know if I said it already. I've never heard of a podcast yours, Greg, and I am so honored to be a part of it. But thank you for asking me.
Well, we're glad to have you. Yeah.
Thank you. So I think the voice is an essential part of performance. So we taught a lot about that. And then we went into the body, because I believe everything is connected. Voice, body, imagination, it's all connected. So we talked about how to take care of your body, and how to walk from stage right to stage left without feeling so awkward. And this is, it was a 4-hour workshop, and then we did some improvisation and we did some scene work and did some scripts, those, and said, you know, what if you were speaking in front of the church? How would you, how would this sound coming? How would this come across coming out of you? You, everybody had the same verse, but it came out differently because everybody is individual. Everybody's different. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't a creep by any means, just sort of there to help support their own story, help support their own facility, if you will. And then we gave some encouragement. People were very excited at the end of the class. Like, how do we take classes? Do you teach classes? Do we, you know, people are very excited about it. So I encourage them. We encourage them to take classes. We found, I literally just yesterday sent them a huge like packet of theater courses closer to them in New Jersey and shows to see. I said, go see shows, you know, and go support theater first and see how it makes you feel. Mm. And go see movies. I mean, all art is art, you know, art is art. And take, you know, sing in the shower. If you're like, I kind of like singing, but you know, start building your confidence up and just sing every single day. You are going to be your best vocal teacher. It's like, how does that feel? Yeah. Sing the same song every day.
Yeah.
It's just a fraction of the song. And do it in different ways. Do it in different keys. Do it in different styles. And then take up voice lessons. But I say anybody out there who is thinking about doing this just for fun or even as a career, I say go for it, because it's such a niche. Like, everybody doesn't love theater, you know what I mean? And for you to be bitten by the bug or for you to enjoy theater, it's a rare thing. So I say go for it and expand your horizons. Also take a cooking class. Also take a volleyball, join a volleyball league, because all of those things sort of will inform who you are. Sure. And when you walk into an audition room, they're seeing you, everything that you have experienced in your whole life, all the heartache, the breakups, the favorite foods, the travel. You walk into that room fully, completely you. I tell students, it's fine to take acting classes and voice classes, but you really need to do other things. You know, you love those things, but what else do you love? You know, do you love hiking? Do you love writing? Do you love making jewelry? You know, whatever it is, cultivate who you are. Mm-hmm. So when you're standing on stage, even if it's in an audition room or on the stage, people are seeing all of you, and you're confident standing in who you are and whose you are.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Very good. I think there are more people who like theater than realize they like theater, especially today when in a society where everything is about likes. You know, the whole social media world is all about being liked. It's all about, for a lot of people, a vast majority of them, it's all about performance anyway, because nobody gets up at 7 a.m. and puts on their worst face on their Instagram page, right? They get themselves together and they present their best face, you know, their best vocals, their best. So there's a degree of performance in every aspect of life. You know, I think it was Shakespeare, the whole world is a stage. Yeah. Now, before we get into what's happening now and what you have coming next, I have to talk about your husband, Lawrence, and get him to say a few words to us.
Okay.
I keep telling people that great things happen when you become a part of something bigger than yourself, a choir or some other singing aggregation. He wasn't your husband then, but he became.
I remember I was so touched by him performing that I walked out and cried, because he was just going through this period of like insecurity and just like confidence. And he was nervous about singing in the choir. I remember he's like, I think I volunteered him. I'm like, you should sing in this choir. And I remember he sounded so beautiful, and I was like, oh my God, I just got so overwhelmed. I was like, oh my God, do I like this?
You like this guy. you snatched him up shortly after.
I snatched my best friend up. You hear me?
Yep. Married my best friend. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm great, man.
Good.
Great.
So how's it going?
We are making it up, some of it, as we go along.
Got to do that sometimes, you know? Yeah.
Let God kind of lead the way, but we're doing well.
Well, since I got you here, I'm going to add you to this podcast. It just makes sense. It just makes sense. Uh-huh. Lawrence is here. This is Q's husband. Now, Lawrence, you and I had met over the years in passing, but our official introduction to each other was when you auditioned for a male chorus that I was putting together for a special event. I think it was an Easter or a Christmas event, about 150 men, and you were one of our soloists.
That moment stands out as a really significant point in my life because, you know, I would sit in the balcony and I would worship and I would sing sometimes. And I can't tell you how many people, congregants would come up to me and be like, are you in the choir? And I was like, no, I'm not in the choir. And she had asked me, why don't you join the choir? And for whatever reason, I just didn't feel led to do that at the time. But like, I love singing. So, and it was like God tracked me down because I think I was in the bathroom when someone came up to me and was like, hey, this choir is happening. And I was like, they don't even know if I can, like, this person doesn't know me from anybody. Mm. They don't know me at all. And so I was like, okay, Lord. So I joined the choir thinking I was just going to be in the background, you know, lending the voice. I don't even know if you had ever heard me sing.
Well, like, I think I interviewed and auditioned you just for that choir.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Yes, you did. You did audition. Mm-hmm. You did audition. And so when you said that I would be singing that song, I was like, oh, man. You know, as a performer, you know, there are still certain things that we do that we just have to, like, push through all the fear.
Sure.
And that was one of them, right? And I remember sitting on stage right before the service started, and someone came up to me, and I don't know if I looked like I was like in need of a desperate touch from the Lord or whatever, but he just walked up to me and was like, you're going to be fine. And I was like, yep, because I'm singing about exactly what I'm going to need to get this song out. You know what I mean? And it was such a gift. It was such a gift.
Yeah.
I would never forget that.
It was a special moment. It really was. And so thank you for your yes. And thanks for joining us tonight. So because this podcast is called The Choir Room, it's all about choir and it's all about all things choir. It's all about singing and it's all about corporate singing. Mm-hmm. So when you consider the fact that you, because you were already acting at that time, I believe, and acting, of course, would present opportunities where you'd have to sing in a group or small group or sometimes, you know, full cast. What would you say the value and the importance of singing with a group of people is?
I also sang with the Morehouse College Glee Club for 4 years.
And that
might be why I was like, I'm, you know, choir singing is, it is difficult, especially when people are coming from all different places, because that learning how to blend and learning how to lend your voice to a bigger sound, but not the need to, like, be in the forefront. I'm from Detroit, and I remember our choir director, Dr. Morrow, would always be like, it's too brassy, Detroit. It's too brassy. So I was like, rounded out.
Your internal, you know, internal EQ, you had to.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's exactly right. But there is nothing like a group of people coming together to make a glorious sound. Mm-hmm. It is, when it's working, it is nothing short of a miracle. Mm. And so that taught me a lot about selflessness and how to share without ego. Mm. You know, because, you know, there are some people who, like, they're like, I want to be heard. I want to be the soloist. I want to do that. And I found when doing choral singing, it's really not about you.
Yeah.
It's about all of you, you know, and you got to hold down yours and trust that they're going to hold down theirs. And sometimes that's not, sometimes that requires you to work outside the rehearsal room, you know? So that's taught me how to share without ego. It's taught me discipline.
Love it.
I think it's made me a better musician, because as we transfer to musicals and stuff like that, I mean, it's the same thing.
Yeah.
You know, in a musical, we might be spread out across a stage, or some people might be backstage and some people might be on stage, but you're all making one sound.
Yeah,
and you got to have one ear on yourself and the other ear on everybody else, and know how to, like, fit in.
Right, beautiful.
You know, I didn't grow up watching a whole lot of musicals. I didn't. But one of my favorite musicals seen over and over and over and over and over and over and over again, right? And the first time I stood on the stage and rehearsed for that choir, I was singing and I was like, my mind was like going off because I was like, why do I know this? Why do I know this? Like, I know where I am. Like, I know this. And it dawned on me, this is where they filmed A Chorus Line. It was the last thing that they did before it became Times Square Church.
The last show.
And I've seen that so many times. And it wasn't, I would have never known, because the whole thing about A Chorus Line is like the actor's perspective into the house. And as a congregant, I would never see that. Right. So it wasn't until I stepped on stage for rehearsal, I was like, whoa. And I was like, God, even down to like this building of all the buildings in New York City to worship at, you know, that just let me know that I was exactly where I was supposed to be.
Yeah. Yeah. Standing in that building on that stage, singing in that choir. Tell people how they can find you, Q, and then tell us what's next for Q and what's next for Lawrence.
Well, we are currently creating our acting studio. We're looking for a name. So I would say go to that website, but we don't have one just yet. So everybody out there can pray for us to find the right name. We've been having think tanks lately, friends helping us figure out a name, because it's something that's going to have to last. But right now you can reach me at cuperstar.com or www.qdot.com. Q.smith.com. Sorry.
Okay.
Q.smith.com. That's my website. And how do they reach you?
On Instagram.
Instagram.
The letter I, the letter M, and then Stallings is my handle. And you want to give yours?
Yeah, mine is Cuperstar. Okay. Just Q-P-E-R-S-T-A-R.
We'll put it all in the show notes as well.
And what's next? We don't know. You know, that's the thing about this business. But we know that we trust God for the sustaining of our family and our careers. I mean, it is not unique, but it is a special thing to be in the arts, any kind of performing arts, and to be a believer. Because Lord knows, you know, when the show closes or they say cut for the final time, then you have to be an unemployed.
Right.
You know, you have to have the faith to sustain you, and God has been sustaining us. Right now we're focused on our best gig, which is being Caleb's parent.
That's awesome.
And that is an awesome thing. Yeah. But we don't know what's next. We are trusting God that it's going to be amazing. We're ready for it when he's ready to show us what it is.
Well, scripture says that our days are in his hands. And so remember that. But I'm excited about the whole studio idea. So we will certainly be joining you in prayer about that and looking at different ways in which Metro Music can come alongside you in this venture and doing our part in making sure that our listening audience is aware of what's happening with both Q and Lawrence. A good portion of our audience is familiar with you two as they've served with you in choir in the past. Thank you again, Q, and you can find more information about Q in our show notes. And thanks, Lawrence, for allowing me to pull you in on this podcast at the last minute. And now to all of us, remember, if we ever put the messenger before the message, we have failed to present an unblemished gospel. I'm Greg Thomas. Join us again right here next week in the Choir Room.